This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, good. Looks like we've got Mark in Livingston on the phone lines with us right now. You know, we've got a busy few days coming up on the show. I'm hitting the road to Great Falls. Then we're back in Whitefish on Thursday. Columbia Falls with a live show on the town on Friday. But let's get your phone calls in today. 406-294-0970. Mark in Livingston, what's on your mind here on this Monday morning? Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, so I looked up our buddy Max with the Secretary of the State Democratic Party, and it's interesting because he's not originally from Montana, of course. He's from the East Coast, Massachusetts, and he happens to live in one of the more affluent areas of Livingston off of South Yellowstone. It just kind of goes in tune with our city council with these bulb outs at the crosswalks. They want to slow down traffic at a four-way stop, okay? It doesn't get any slower than a four-way stop. And this is supposedly for pedestrians, where across off of Main Street and Park Street, that's where it's busiest, pedestrians are on their own. You can't argue with stupid.
So backing up just a second here, so you said you looked up our buddy Max. Is this the guy who was elected vice chair of the Montana Democrat Party from Livingston, and then, what, 24, 72 hours later, he was forced to resign not because of some of the crazy things he said about, you know, throwing the woman down the stairs, referring to her as a B word, referring to Marjorie Taylor Greene. That's not why they forced him to step down. They forced him to step down because he said some negative things about former Democrat Senator John Tester. So that's why they forced him out. I'm assuming that's the Max you're talking about, right?
That it is.
Did the Democrats ever replace him yet? He stepped down as vice chair, but did they pick his replacement yet? Have you heard?
I haven't, no.
Interesting. So you live in Livingston. You've lived there a long time, and you had no idea who this guy was that the Democrats elected to be their vice chair, huh?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I go to the city council meetings. I go to the county council meetings because I've got property in Paradise Valley as well. So I try to keep abreast of what's going on and call out and become acquainted with those that are trying to make the rules in our community. And so I looked this guy up, and again, he's from the East Coast.
It's just some out-of-state rich liberal coming in here, imposing his values on the people in Paradise. So typical. We see that time and time again, don't we? Well, Mark, thanks for calling in, and appreciate your phone call. That actually ties in with a topic I wanted to talk about. I didn't really get into it much last week, but there was this story. Actually, Tom Luty did this story for the liberal-leaning Montana Free Press. It had this headline, "No Sharks in Amity Bay," which apparently is a quote from the movie Jaws back in 1975. But man, this goes into the infighting that took place in Livingston during the Montana Democrat Party, their convention that they had. Holy cow, wait till you hear some of the details that Luty reported in this one. Man, I tell you what, it sounds like the Democrats in Portland at an ICE facility, frankly. Stand by.
It's September 29th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Coffee Day. For many of us, that first cup of coffee in the morning is the only way we can start out our day on the right foot. Modern coffee making has been raised to an art form where coffee houses and cafes have baristas that can tell you the origins of your coffee down to the region where it was grown to the many notes the bean will offer when mixed with hot water. And for those non-coffee drinkers out there, just consider the health benefits. Drinking just two cups of coffee a day can lower the possibility of suffering a stroke, being afflicted with Alzheimer's or dementia. It even lowers the risk of certain types of cancer. Also on this date, in 1916, industrialist and founder of Standard Oil, John D. Rockefeller, becomes the world's first billionaire. If it's your birthday today, you share it with the father of the atomic bomb, physicist Enrico Fermi, born in 1901. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
A message from FireSafe Montana. It has been indicated that Montana is headed towards a significant wildland fire season. Now is the time for you and your community to begin your fuel mitigation efforts. Neighborhood meetings, fuel mitigation around your property, planning escape routes, practicing the route. Right now is the time for action. Your local emergency management agency can be contacted for more information. This message brought to you by FireSafe Montana and aired by the Montana Broadcasters Association.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, break out the popcorn, or what I did, I got the, you can hear the bag here. I got the Ideal Protein protein chips here. I'm having some protein chips, but you can break out the popcorn either way. Man, when you read these accounts that are now coming out of the recent Montana Democrat Party convention that took place in Livingston, oh, man. And, you know, it's interesting. Are the TV stations going to cover this? Will there be follow-up stories? Probably not. But if this happened at the Republican state convention, my goodness, we would never hear the end of it. All right, where do we start here? Let's see. I think Jesse Mullen was on the Democrats, their executive board, whatever they call it, at the state level. He was also the Democrat candidate for Secretary of State last year. And good job by him. He's been calling out the corruption within the Montana Democrat Party. Not just now, not just this year, after they lost their elections. He was calling out the corruption in the Democrat Party last year. In fact, there was one point, I remember this. The Democrats had their flyers. They were going door to door promoting their candidates. And they had their flyers printed and produced. And they didn't put his name on their own flyers. A statewide Democrat candidate for office. And they refused to put his name on their flyers. Well, why? Because he was raising questions about their finances and where their money was being spent and where their money was going. Now, fast forward to just a few weeks ago, and what have we found out about the Democrat Party's finances and where, you know, for those of our Democrat friends that are listening to the show that donate to your, you know, candidates and your causes and your party, where is your money going? Where was your money going? Well, a lot of it went to this woman named Abby Cook, who is now facing federal embezzlement charges for her work in several campaigns. Anyway, Jesse Mullen wrote this piece for the Sealy Swan Pathfinder at SealyLake.com. And then Tom Lutie, I mentioned, he's got another piece for the liberal-leaning Montana Free Press here. This piece in the Sealy Swan Pathfinder, though, talks about the Montana Democrat Party convention. The convention was not without theatrics. On the eve of the board election, outgoing chair Robin Driscoll erupted in what witnesses described as a screaming match, telling one delegate to, quote, shut their effing mouth. Then, following Sunday's board election, the newly elected vice chair's unfortunate remark, about a former U.S. senator sparked outrage and power plays, handing old guard members a chance to flex control. Ultimately, the vice chair resigned his position 3 days into the term. That's the Max guy that Mark in Livingston was talking about just a few minutes ago. And the, quote, unity campaign promise appears to be sitting mangled firmly in the bus's rearview mirror here. All right, that was part of this story at SealyLake.com. Now let's go to Tom Lutie's piece here for the liberal Montana Free Press. So Jesse Mullen, the guy I was telling you about, who was the Democrat Party's 2024 candidate for Secretary of State. And good job on his part, by the way. He was calling out this corruption and raising questions about how they were spending money and refusing to disclose how this money was being spent, even to board members like him. He was calling this out last year. And then now you've got federal embezzlement charges. And when this news came out, we had Darren Gobb, who did some great reporting, does some great reporting for the Montana Sentinel on this show, talking about this story. We had Tyler Newcomb, you know, a recent executive director for the Montana GOP on the show, talking about this story. What we know about this Abby Cook embezzlement scandal is it's not, the story is not just one person who did work for Democrat campaigns. It, what is very obvious here is in the fact that they are punishing those who asked questions. They are punishing members of their own party who continue to want to see more reforms so that they can get, you know, transparent information about how their own Democrat Party funds are being spent. Shows that they all knew about it. They knew what was happening. And yet they punished people like Jesse Mullen for exposing it. And so one of the things that's reported here is some of the questions that, Mullen was asking here was, okay, did Abby Lee Cook, who's facing these federal embezzlement charges, she's already pled guilty, by the way, did she take Democrat Montana Democrat Party staff on fancy vacations at the same time she was stealing money from her donors? This is the charge coming from Jesse Mullen. Sounds very... Who's that DA in Georgia that was trying to go after Trump, and then we found out that she was taking money, she was taking the money and going on fancy trips with her boyfriend? Remember her? Fannie, that's right, Fannie. Fannie Willis. Yeah, she was taking her Fannie and her boyfriend's Fannie on some fancy vacations as she was trying to go after Trump. She would give him the deals, and then they'd go on these nice vacations. But basically, Mullen is alleging the same thing with Montana Democratic Party staff. That Abby Lee Cook was taking money from these campaigns, siphoning money away from it, and then in order to cover for it within the party, she would take Montana Democrat Party staff out on these fancy vacations. And all the while, what happened? The Democrats were losing elections across the board. Anyway, because Mullen was raising these questions at the Democrat Party convention, that's apparently what led the outgoing chair to tell him to shut his effing mouth. And then apparently the Adam Schiff hit the fan after that. We'll tell you more after this.
Fox Sports Update.
It's McManus to tie the game from 53 yards. Operation Clean. Kick is right down the middle. And we will go to overtime.
Sunday Night Football on NBC. The Packers and Cowboys combined to score 80 points. Neither team won. Brandon McManus kicked a 34-yard field goal as time expired in overtime. Green Bay and Dallas finished in a 40-40 tie.
I don't care about the stats. I don't care about the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows. I just care about the end result and the win. And so when you don't get that, right now it's tough for me. You know, I guess 10 years in, the first tie I've been a part of, it's hard to kind of wrap my head around it because I know I'd feel a hell of a lot worse if it was a loss. It's a weird feeling.
Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott threw three touchdown passes, 31 of 40, 319 yards. Packers quarterback Jordan Love, 31 of 43, 337 yards and three TD passes. Neither quarterback intercepted. The score was 23-20 Dallas at the start of the fourth quarter. Game ended 40-40. Final day of the baseball regular season, Reds and the Mets both lost. Cincinnati claimed the final National League wild card. The Blue Jays and the Yankees both won and finished with identical records. Toronto won the AL East, the Yankees a wild card. The Guardians won, the Tigers lost. Cleveland completed its unthinkable comeback from 10.5 games out of first place at the start of September to win the American League Central. Playoffs start tomorrow. Tigers at the Guardians, Padres at the Cubs, Red Sox at the Yankees, Reds at the Dodgers. Best of 3-game series. WNBA Phoenix Mercury advanced to the WNBA Finals with an 86-81 win over the Minnesota Lynx in Game 4. The Mercury will face either the Las Vegas Aces or Indiana Fever for the title. The Fever won Sunday 90-83 to force a deciding Game 5 tomorrow in Vegas. Golf, Europe defeated the United States at the Ryder Cup 15-13. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com. It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I got to get back to this Jesse Mullen piece here in the Steely Swan Pathfinder. But first, here's some more of the Adam Schiff that hit the fan at the Montana Democrat Party convention that took place in Livingston. And it's interesting that a lot of this stuff didn't come out in real time, that it's coming out now after the fact. It's like, did they not have reporters in the room during the convention while it was all taking place, or did everybody just wait? Did they have to get the green light from their liberal mega donors before they could report some of this stuff? Why did it take so long? Either way, it's pretty funny to read here. Let's see here. Okay, so we told you how the outgoing chair of the Montana Democrat Party told Jesse Mullen to shut his effing mouth, according to Mullen anyway, because he was raising continued questions and calling for more reforms about, you know, in the midst of this Montana Democrat Party embezzlement scandal. But Tom Luty adds this. The Mullen dust-up was not the only dispute tied to Cook to arise at the party's convention. Livingston police said in a press release after the event that they were asked to investigate alleged threats against Jason O'Neill, a voting party delegate and longtime Democrat hand, who was distributing flyers on the Saturday of the gathering promoting former legislator Mike Jopek for party chair. Now, what's funny about that is that, you know, Mike Jopek, he wrote this column for the Flathead Beacon for a number of years, and he'd always pretend to be moderate. He'd pretend to be this independent guy. And so many in the media would run with it. Oh, well, independent Mike Jopek. He was a staffer for the Democrats. He was a Democrat candidate for office. Don't call the guy an independent or a moderate. He is nothing of the sort. But what's really interesting is, like, okay, so here's Jason O'Neill, who's one of the nastiest political operatives in the state. And frankly, you know, it's like, okay, you work for former Democrat Governor Brian Schweitzer. He could win elections. The Democrats have been losing elections ever since they kicked Brian Schweitzer to the curb. But both Schweitzer and Tester were backing Jopek to be party chair. And overwhelmingly, he got rejected. So it's like the Democrat Party is not only rejecting Brian Schweitzer, but also John Tester, which is kind of interesting because Tester also threw Schweitzer under the bus over the years. Tester and Max Baucus kicked Brian Schweitzer to the curb. And then the Democrats have been losing elections ever since. But yeah, Jason O'Neill, who is really one of the more nasty political operatives, and I'm not being mean, I'm just saying that's, you know, he would probably feel like that's a compliment when I refer to him as a nasty political operative. He was one of the henchmen for Bullock and all those guys, slapping you in the face with mask mandates and all that other BS. But anyway, he claims that a Democrat operative named Jim Edwards, the spouse of former Democrat Party Executive Director Sheila Hogan, here's what O'Neill claims, and he claims this in a sworn petition for a temporary order of protection that was filed back on September 16th in Lewis and Clark County. He claims this: Mr. Edwards aggressively and repeatedly jammed his finger in my chest, threatening to slap me across the face and beat the, I'll just say, Adam Schiff out of me. And so anyway, not only did you have the now out former chair of the Montana Democrat Party tell Jesse Mullen to shut his effing mouth, but apparently another big-time Democrat operative was threatening to beat the Adam Schiff out of another Democrat operative. And so anyway, there you go. This is just more details that are now coming to light about the Montana Democrat Party's recent convention. And again, why wasn't this all reported in real time? Why are we just now hearing this type of information? And has a replacement been picked? The guy who was elected vice chair of the Montana Democrat Party, remember, He talked about throwing the B word down the stairs. That's what he used to talk about a woman. He said, throw the B word down the stairs, basically. And that's not why the Montana Democrats called for him to resign and forced him to step down as vice chair of the Democrat Party. They forced him to step down because he criticized John Tester for losing an election. Isn't that interesting? That the Democrats care more about some politician being offended than they do about the fact that the guy was talking about throwing a woman down the stairs. That tells you a lot about the Democrat Party, doesn't it? And what offends them? If you offend one of their dear leaders, that's a fireable offense. But you talk about throwing women down the stairs, and apparently that's not a fireable offense in the Montana Democrat Party. But anyway, Jesse Mullen is even saying after this latest convention, he's calling it a mixed bag. This goes back to his piece in the Sealy Swan Pathfinder. He says, for Montanans hoping for reform, the weekend was a mixed bag. The outgoing and continuing leaders resisted change, and new leadership made cautious overtures to reform, but kept one foot firmly planted in the swamp grass. This is a Democrat talking about the Montana Democrat Party leadership. He says party leaders continue to dodge basic questions about their close ties to political consultant and compliance officer Abby Lee Cook, who recently pleaded guilty to felony wire fraud for stealing donor dollars. And then he raised several questions. Did Abby Cook pay for party staff to join her on vacations while she was stealing money from Montana Democrat Party donors? What other, you know, financial benefits did she get for doing work for the Montana Democrat Party? He added this. He says, these aren't gotcha questions. They're the kind any organization facing a felony scandal should answer. The refusal to do so only deepens distrust. Unsurprisingly, fundraising is down. Donors will look elsewhere until they see accountability. You know, all you Montana Democrat Party donors, you know, instead of our taxpayer dollars going to public TV and public radio, and instead of your donor dollars going to, campaign trips for party embezzlers, now, maybe you could put your money where your mouth is and donate to some other good causes out there. Anyway, that's just my thoughts. It's 406-294-0970 is the number for you. We've got a couple of minutes here, and then we got a great guest joining us coming up here right around 8:40. A great candidate for mayor of Kalispell going to be with us here in just a few minutes. This whole story about the Montana Democrat Party, I wonder this. And the reason I say I wonder is because I want to be clear when I'm speculating versus when I'm sharing information, when we're giving facts versus when we're giving opinions, you know, things like that, things that so many in the fake news media refuse to do. They report opinions as facts. Speculation becomes the sole basis of their news stories. I wonder this. So this Democrat scandal is currently being, you know, the prosecution, if that's what you want to call it, the kid glove prosecution is currently being handled by an assistant U.S. attorney who is also a prominent Democrat Party figure. And Abby Cook appears to be getting kid gloves treatment. I just wonder this. You know how the Democrats were blocking the confirmations for U.S. attorneys, including Kurt Almy here in Montana, who is an incredible guy, incredible reputation. He has already served in the U.S. Attorney's office. He's already been the U.S. attorney before. He's got a great reputation across the spectrum. Why would the Democrats block him from getting confirmed as U.S. attorney? Were they hoping to get this Montana Democrat Party scandal through with kid gloves prosecution before Kurt Almy could be, you know, confirmed and sworn in as U.S. attorney? Again, that's just a question I'm throwing out there. It's just speculation that I throw out there because the facts are clear. Abby Lee Cook has pled guilty to embezzlement charges, federal embezzlement charges, for money that she stole from Democrat donors, Democrat campaigns, and from the and as Jesse Mullen has pointed out, they all knew about it. They all knew about it, or they wouldn't have been. They wouldn't be punishing somebody within their own party for raising questions about it and trying to put new reforms into place, right? Anyway, you can message us on the Montana Talks app. I think we got George and Laurel patching through right now. George, let's see. We got about, a minute or two before we go to the break. What's on your mind this morning?
I was watching a late night show that I'd never seen before, and the host was interviewing a professor, and he kept talking about Trump persecuting his political enemies. And he made reference to the fact that the courts need to prevent Trump from persecuting his personal enemies. And he expects feedback from the people to tell President Trump to stop persecuting his enemies. And he kept referring to President Trump in, being the leader of this criminal charge. And it just, I almost blew a gasket. Because he's talking about what Brandon did for the entire 4 years.
And what the Democrats did to Trump for 10 years. And what the media did to Trump for 10 years. And what are they? Yeah, great point, George. And, George, what are they basically saying when they say, oh, Trump's persecuting his political enemies? What they're saying is Democrats or people that disagree with President Trump can commit any crime, can break any law, and they can get away with it. That's what they're saying. They're saying, if you disagree with Trump, you can commit any crime, break any law, and we won't hold you accountable because we'll claim that you're being persecuted.
Big topics, big ideas, Big Sky, Montana Talks.
Hey, I've been talking about this a lot here on this show. Look, folks, I hope you don't just wait for the presidential elections to get involved. I hope you don't just wait for the midterm elections to get involved. How many people are out there talking about, you know, getting involved and fighting to save our country and getting involved in campaigns and getting involved in elections? And yet when it comes to school board races, when it comes to city council races, when it comes to mayoral elections, it's like crickets. Folks don't get involved. And then we wonder why the radical left starts to claw back and take over city councils and take over school board seats that some conservatives had previously won in recent years here. I don't know if you guys remember this, but when Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez did their big rally at the Adams Center in Missoula, after the Democrats lost every major election in Montana last November, what did AOC say? She says, we're going to go for school boards, and we're going to go for city councils, and we're going to go for this, and we're going to go for that. And that's exactly what they've been doing. So what are you doing? What are we doing? That's why it's so great to have a candidate for mayor in Kalispell join us on the show right now. I'll tell you what, I've talked with Jennifer Owen, who's running for mayor of Billings, and what a remarkable leader she would be for Billings and for Yellowstone County, the largest, powerhouse in the state, not just from a population standpoint, but politically as well. And then what about the Flathead Valley? Great to have Keisa Davison with us on Montana Talks. Keisa, thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You know, every time I drive past the SBG gyms, I'm like, hey, that's the SBG gym. I know those guys from all the Fusion fights because they're a very well-known gym, pumping out some great fighters that are in the MMA fights. But that's part of your family business. You've also got a construction business in the Flathead as well.
That's true, yep. We've done a lot of, I think, really powerful work for the community just from the commercial business side of things in this valley.
Yeah, so obviously you've got the business background credentials, but you know I was hearing from some of my some conservative friends that I really respect, and they were the first ones to tell me, "Hey, Aaron, you got to meet with Kesa Davison. She's running for mayor. She's going to be a game changer for the Flathead Valley." And it got me thinking of our friend Jennifer Owen, who's also running for mayor in Billings. And wow, here's an opportunity. Yeah. Here's an opportunity to have two women powerhouses leading two of Montana's biggest towns.
It's so important to, I think, look to new leadership in these communities that are just struggling to change with the times. And I'm really excited that I had this opportunity to throw my hat in the ring, but I'm more excited to just get into office and start actually doing something for our town.
What made you want to run for mayor, and describe the philosophy that you would bring into office as mayor?
So, it's not every little girl's dream growing up to be mayor of a town in Montana, but it certainly was a calling that I couldn't ignore anymore. The leadership that we have had in this community, I think, has gotten us to where we are. But in the last 6 years, I've really seen some failings on our city council to address the growth that we've been seeing in our valley, and also the challenges and pressures that come on public service systems, on personnel, and on public safety in our community. So my experience is in leadership. I've been running a successful construction company that we built from the ground up, from scratch, 10 years ago. My husband and I, in the dead of a recession in the middle of winter in 2008, opened our first straight blast gym here in Kalispell. We now have four locations in the state of Montana. If there's anything I do well, it's small problems. And coming into this race, that is my goal. We have to solve problems in Kalispell. It's too important. Kalispell is worth fighting for, and that's why I'm here.
I got a chance to sit down with you and have coffee last week, and really enjoyed the conversation, because you're somebody who has seen what's going right and what's going wrong with city government. And you're somebody who sat on these committees and said, hey, why are we doing this way? Why don't we do it another way? And you get the response that so many people who show up at city council meetings or get involved in other committees, you got the response of, well, that's just how we've always done it, and we're just going to keep doing it that way. And so you're somebody who can actually come in and cut these regulations and come up with more common sense solutions that's better for business and better for taxpayers. That's the way I see it.
Yep, absolutely. It's really unnerving to hear that. You know, you come into a committee and they ask you, it's not like I knock on City Hall's door and say, hey, pick me. They call me and say, hey, would you be on this committee, because we want to evaluate fill in the blank. And then we provide the input. The committee comes with the recommendation. The recommendation goes to council, and council ultimately in several of these situations has said, well, yeah, we're not so sure. That's just not how we do it. Or worse, they say, okay, go ahead, give it a whirl. But then they don't provide any support. There's a whole culture in our city leadership that has to change if we're going to address public safety issues, cost savings, and these property taxes that are out of control. And the red tape that has everyone wrapped up in this state of paralysis, all of that has to be, we have to break through the old ways of doing things and get innovative, get creative, and more than anything, just get something done.
One of the things, well, first off, just what's your take? What sets Flathead County, the Flathead Valley, and Kalispell apart right now? Because, you know, we see Missoula, and we see what leadership there looks like. It means constantly raising your property taxes, constantly raising other taxes, and then pushing and pressing and asking for more levies. And then Gallatin County and in Bozeman, far left city commission, and they've made it harder to do business, harder to build housing in the city limits. And what does it do? It pushes people further out. It chews up the farmland. It chews up the wildlife habitat. How do you see Kalispell needing to go a different road than the way that Missoula and Bozeman have gone in particular?
No, number one, we've got to cut spending. We have to be more aggressive with our cost savings. And that doesn't just mean lopping off big arms of government or retracting. Because in my opinion, that's a contempt and running for the hill.
What now? I know one of the big concerns folks have with Kalispell right now.
A lot more creative.
Go ahead. I think we broke
up. Yeah, right now.
I'm sorry, Keisa, I lost you there for just a second. Go ahead again with that previous question.
We have to just be more aggressive in our cost savings and our cost efficiencies at the city government level. If we can cut back, not just, like I said, not just lopping off arms of government or branches and making government, quote unquote, smaller, we have to be leaner. So we can do more with less, and that's the experience that I bring to this game. That's what we do in business, right? We eat what we catch in business. That's how it works. I don't rely on anybody else to feed my family or to feed, you know, my employees and their families. And that's the attitude that I will bring to the city government. How do we do more with less?
Well, you look at what the Flathead, you know, county commissioners have done, and they've actually figured out a way to reduce property taxes compared to Gallatin County and Missoula, where they're always raising their pay and then they're always raising taxes. How would you align yourself with the county commissioners on that front at the city level?
Well, I think the county commissioners took a fantastic and very important first step, and they're really setting the pace for all the municipalities in the Flathead Valley. We have to be able to cut back those taxes, and that means cutting back budgets. The next step to that I know the commissioners are going to take on is, okay, now how can we continue to add services that are so desperately needed in a growing community and still maintain a low tax base? I do believe that a local option sales tax is something we need to explore, not because I want to tax people more, but because I want to have another option of funding for us to look at where we can cover our costs and reduce the overall tax burden on everyone in Kalispell.
And if I'm not mistaken, I'm somebody who I've never really liked the local option sales taxes myself either, because I just don't like the idea of it either. But I think all three candidates in this race, I think, have all basically said something similar. So if that's a deal breaker for somebody, well, hey, that's what all the candidates in this race have basically expressed support for. Hold that thought. We'll come back to Keisa Davison right after this quick break. But this is a three-way race. You've got a very far left candidate for mayor that the Democrats are propping up. And then the concern I'm hearing is that the Democrats are also propping up a libertarian candidate to try to split the vote amongst conservatives so they can get their far left guy across the finish line. Stand by. Back after this.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
This is a tipping point for our country. James Comey, only the tip of the iceberg. This conspiracy is grander, bigger, it's deep, it's profound. And we have got to restore the Department of Justice, the FBI, to its former greatness, our intelligence community to their former greatness. And for those people, this is terrible. They were all complicit and silent when all of this corruption was going on. And frankly, I hold them accountable for not being honest brokers. They're just not. James Comey hated Donald Trump. Unbelievable. We'll see what happens.
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
According to a 2022 FBI statistic, less than 0.01% of all altercations require a lethal response. Now, think about that. We all have a safety plan. If you don't, you need one that includes firearms. That's only necessary less than 1% of the time. So what is your new plan for 99.99% of the time? Well, you can start with the Byrna Launcher, BYRNA. It's the less lethal launcher that can de-escalate any situation for 99% of any altercations. Now, the new Byrna Compact Launcher is the smallest, less lethal option to date. It's concealable anywhere. It fires powerful kinetic rounds, tear gas, pepper spray. It also can stop an attacker for up to 40 minutes. No background checks, legal in all 50 states. It ships straight to your door, burner, because your first line of defense should always be less lethal. Just go to BYRNA.com today and find the right launcher for you and your family to be safe. That's BYRNA.com.
It's Fox Wheels.
New car prices have held at about record levels since 2023 at just over $49,000 on average, with tariffs on things like aluminum not having much of an impact on sticker prices yet, as automakers seem to be taking a measured approach, recognizing that consumers are already financially stretched and don't want to risk losing sales or market share. Edmunds tells Fox Business that shoppers should expect automakers to be cautious in how they manage pricing and incentives. Analysts caution buyers to be aware of that balance between prices, which could scare away customers, and other profit centers where we could see steep increases on things like destination fees and repairs, automakers and dealers limiting incentives, and potentially regulating supply. The good news for used car buyers, there's an oversupply and prices continue falling. That's Fox Wheels. I'm Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
Hi, I'm
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
So I mentioned it on the show last week. I said, man, I'm hearing from some of my friends who have been closely following the city elections in the Flathead and in Kalispell, and they said, hey, the left is likely to take control. They'll have a majority on the Kalispell City Council. And could a far-left candidate for mayor win the mayor's race if conservatives and Republicans are divided? Keisa Davison, your thoughts. I know the mayor, you know, position is just one of several votes on the city council, but still, it's very symbolic. If Kalispell's city government were to be run by a far leftist, I mean, I can't, it would just have devastating short-term, maybe even long-term consequences for the city.
It would for sure. I think we'd see a deterioration of our valued public spaces. I think we would see our taxes increase for sure. We would see spending increase. I mean, you know, of course, the Armageddon that we can all imagine is scary enough to fight really hard to make sure that that doesn't happen.
What's your thoughts on the fact that this is a three-way race? You've got a far leftist running, being propped up by the Democrats, but then you've got a so-called libertarian candidate, and he's been used as a pawn by the Democrats. They used him to try to siphon away votes from the Republican in the Senate race against John Tester. Thankfully, that didn't work. He's run against great Republicans like John Fuller in the past. Thankfully, Fuller still won. But how concerned are you that he might siphon votes away and then hand the mayor race to the far left candidate?
I'm very concerned about that. I think it's a valid fear that we should all work to make sure it doesn't happen. The biggest concern that I have, though, with that, not only the siphoning of the votes, but also just the idea that our party, our conservative values, could put someone into office that doesn't stand for what we believe in. Yes, we believe that there should be limited government, but limited government means that we still have to have an effective government. And just the talk that I hear from my opponent isn't about how do we do more with less. It's just less, 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 less. And so then what? Now we're still looking at all the same problems, only now we have even fewer solutions. That's absolutely what I do not want to see come into our town.
Especially on the public safety front, as we've seen, as some of our friends in Yellowstone County have pointed out, you do not want to get behind the curve on the public safety front. I mean, you've had transients trying to take over city parks. You've still got the illegal alien problem in the Flathead Valley. And the libertarians, unfortunately, while I agree with the libertarians on a lot of things, they are open borders. They have largely supported illegal aliens. So are we going to have someone who supports illegal aliens sitting in the mayor's office?
It's a good question, especially since, you know, his voting record so often is different from the words that come out of his mouth. And so I don't know what that would look like. Again, it's a big reason why I decided to run. Public safety is absolutely that is the cornerstone of what any government can do and should do, but especially a local government. Public safety and public services, that is the purpose of a local government.
Keisa Davison, we got about a minute or so to go. Keisa Davison running for mayor of Kalispell. How can folks get a hold of you or find out more information about your campaign?
My website is Keisa, K-I-S-A, for Kalispell.com. Please go on, drop a line, tell me what you think. We need volunteers. I've got to get more people out on the streets spreading the word. There is a difference between me and my opponents, and it is a difference that means the world for Kalispell. I love this town, and I want to see us move forward, not backward.
Stepping into the octagon, and
right.
The ballots come out here. Yeah, because she's got that great MMA gym. Well, they do jujitsu and all sorts of things. But, yeah, ballots come out, I guess, October 17th. So that's a little
over
2 weeks away, which is crazy. And it's a mail-in only election. So, yeah, folks, you got to get involved. You can't just wait for presidential elections. These elections truly matter. Keisa Davison, great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for your time. We've got the phone lines open coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of the show.
Smokey the Bear.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.